This is an I Am Listening podcast.
What I want is to, you know, keep the pressure up so that people keep digging to find out, you know, find some evidence of who decided what and why and what actually happened.
Welcome to the Kent Politics Podcast.
Hello, I'm Nikki White, Senior News Editor with the KM Media Group, and here's another roundup of the county's political news. Local government reorganisation and the total change to all of Kent's councils draws ever closer, and the nuts and bolts of how it's all going to get done are starting to fall into place. In Medway, the only current unitary authority in the county, the council has voted to set aside a total of £7 million for its transition into the new councils in 2028. £6 million over the next two financial years is to go towards internal work in the authority, which is bound to be spent on getting things like legal processes, IT systems and other aspects of running the organisation aligned, so there can be a handover which is as smooth as possible. These funds are also intended to make sure that Medway Council can do this work without letting the services it currently provides and will continue to provide up until it is abolished suffer. Another £1 million is to go towards a joint pot of all the existing councils, which will be used to create something called the Programme Management Office, which will set up the new authorities that will take over in a couple of years. The government is chipping in £900,000 per new authority, so depending on the plan of one, three, four or five new councils being selected, Kent could receive up to £4.5 million for setting up the PMO. Other councils in Kent will have to stump up funds too, but everyone except Medway are waiting until the decision about the number of authorities is announced in July before committing how much they will add into the pot. However, some, like Medway, have already put aside money for internal work, with Dartford setting aside £1.5 million, Sevenoaks £1.2 million and Folkestone and Hythe £1 million. Only three councils have set nothing aside, namely Ashford, Thanet and Kent County Council, although this may be because they've yet to decide how much work will need to be done and whether it requires additional resources, or if their current staff can manage the additional workload. The government will make the call on the number and shape of new councils in July. Another week and yet another story hits the headlines regarding the water supply crisis in Kent. One council leader has gone out on a limb by writing directly to the Water and Flooding Minister Emma Hardy to ask for a moratorium on large-scale house building over concerns that any new developments may not be assured reliable water supplies. Stuart Jeffrey, who is the Green Party head of Maidstone Borough Council, has written to Hardy, highlighting a massive plan in the heart of one of the affected areas. He didn't name it in the letter, but he was referring to Lenham Heath. This is where Homes England, a government-backed quango, wants to build 5,000 houses despite a massive campaign against it. Two of the many concerns among opponents are the water supply and sewage disposal for such a large number of homes. Councillor Jeffrey wrote to the minister, "I do not want to see people moving into new homes only to find they have no water." Tens of thousands of people in the Maidstone Borough lost water during the late May heatwave, with many resorting to long waits at bottle stations for essential supplies. It must be said that Lenham remained largely unaffected by the chaos that other parts of Kent suffered, particularly Tunbridge Wells, but its neighbouring villages were. Councillor Jeffrey also called for a moratorium on new large-scale residential development decisions. The ironic thing about Councillor Jeffrey's opposition to the Lenham project is that Maidstone Council originally proposed it under the now deposed Conservative administration. Our favourite part of this story was how the chairman of Lenham Parish Council, John Burt, welcomed Councillor Jeffrey's intervention. He said, "Of course I agree with Stuart, but let's say he now agrees with me. These are the arguments that we, the people who oppose Heathlands, have been making since day one. I'm glad he has seen sense." John Britt has been one of the most dogged and consistent critics of the scheme, and it's fair to say that the two men have not always seen eye to eye. The first tranche of housing in the Heathlands project is likely to be concentrated at Old Shelf next to the A20. In his letter to Ms Hardy, Councillor Jeffrey wrote, "I cannot begin to express the level of concern, fear, frustration and anger this is causing." So the pressure on South East Water just grows and grows.
Is there a topic that you would like to be discussed on the Kent Politics Podcast? Perhaps you've got a question for one of our panel, or you'd like to comment on a hot topic in local or national government. Get in touch by emailing or sending a voice note to kentpoliticspodcast@thekmgroup.co.uk.
When you become an MP or councillor, you know your inbox is going to be filled with requests from people asking for help. Most will be about very similar topics: parking, housing, homes being built, antisocial behaviour. But every now and then there will be something out of the ordinary. Kent Online featured an exclusive this week about tenant businessman Simon Edgecombe, who claims he is the victim of a 43-year-old post office miscarriage of justice. It's an incredible story, one he claims is a simple mix-up where he sold a vehicle to someone working in a post office who used cash from the till to pay him, fully intending to pay it back, but it ended with him being sentenced to 12 months in prison. All these years later, he's still trying to clear his name, and his MP Helen Whateley and her assistant Daniel Randall have been looking into his case. Here's Helen explaining how she became involved in Simon's case.
Well, Mr. Edgecombe contacted me, I think it was back in 2024, and he approached me to support him and described his situation to me and how he was in this extraordinary case where he argues about and tells me about a miscarriage of justice where he ended up being sent to prison, and the whole trial and justice, so to speak, was carried out by the post office. And he came and he sort of came forwards in the aftermath of the Horizon scandal, when what we have seen is a load of miscarriages of justice. And this, what nobody really knew existed before, was a kind of parallel justice system, so to speak, being run by the post office. And when he saw that that had come out into the open for the Horizon scandal, he came forward and said, well, I went through something like this. He told me and asked me for some support to get his case looked into.
And so what have you done to help since then?
So I've been in touch with the government minister sort of responsible for this area. And in fact, she had a call with me and Mr. Edgecombe a number of weeks ago when he went through his story. And I've been trying to get the government to help to dig into what actually happened and get some investigation into his case. At first, he was told, I've been told, that there are no records. This goes back to the 1980s. But now it looks like there actually could be some records. He's received some information through that's heavily redacted. So what I want is to keep the pressure up so that people keep digging to find out, find some evidence of who decided what and why and what actually happened.
And how optimistic are you that there actually might be something good to come out of this case and that, sort of justice may be served to Simon?
Well, I think one of the things is that there's now a sort of gathering interest in his situation, like you're covering this and the media showing a bit of interest. And I really hope that that might bring somebody forwards who actually remembers, was in some way involved. And clearly there are lawyers who are involved. There have been people on the jury. There are the people who would have been involved in this who may remember and be able to shed some light on what actually happened. And the extraordinary thing also is, what has happened to the records? Why is there nothing left? Maybe there's something somewhere that somebody can pull out.
You can read the full story at Kent Online. And finally, the World Cup got underway this week. If your office sweepstake delivered anything like ours did for me, you'll be cheering on countries that barely cross your radar. However, on a much more serious note, research shows that the rates of domestic abuse increase when England play. Medway Council leader Councillor Vince Maple is a White Ribbon ambassador working to stop violence before it starts by addressing its root causes, and he put out a video this week urging everyone to be extra vigilant for signs of domestic abuse as part of the No See Speak Out campaign.
Hi, it's Vince here. We're at Chatham Town Football Club, and like football supporters all across the country, really excited about the World Cup, a great opportunity to cheer on England. But of course, we know in some households, the World Cup can be a time of terror. Statistics show us that when England play in the World Cup and they lose, 38% increase in domestic abuse. When England play in the World Cup and they win, a 26% increase in domestic abuse. Those statistics are stark, and it means we've all got to do everything we can to reduce those numbers. I'm incredibly proud of the work, both myself as a White Ribbon ambassador and of our friends and colleagues across Medway and Kent, for the work we do every single day when it comes to the issue of domestic abuse.
If you're on social media, do find his video on Medway Council's socials and help share the message. That's it for another week. You can find more on our politics webpage at Kent Online, and don't forget to sign up for our newsletter at kentonline.co.uk/newsletters for more news and views. And don't forget to tune in to KMTV's politics show every Friday at 5 p.m. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for listening to the Kent Politics Podcast. Don't forget to check out stories throughout the week on the politics page of Kent Online. And you can watch the Kent Politics Show on KMTV every Friday at 5 p.m. or on demand at kmtv.co.uk.
This has been an I Am Listening podcast. For more information, head over to our website, iam-listening.co.uk.